And from tracking voters on the web to tracking influenza, when we feel crummy, fever, chills, muscle aches, runny nose, those ominous flu-like symptoms, before we call the doctor, many of us self-diagnose and start off to Yahoo or Google to search under a few predictable keywords. Thermometer, maybe. Muscle aches, congestion, or just plain flu symptoms. I have a few. And when a lot of people in the same city search those terms, they may inadvertently provide important public health information. Search behemoth Google tracked flu symptom searches against actual flu outbreaks. And guess what? Here to tell us more about Google Flu Tracker is Miguel Helft. He covers Google and Yahoo for the New York Times Business Desk and joins us today from the studios of member station KQED in San Francisco. Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
And how closely did the outbreaks of searches under flu symptoms track actual outbreaks of the flu?
Very closely, actually. Google, what it did is create a basket of these keywords that you just mentioned that are related to flu symptoms, the types of things we might normally type into Google when we get sick, and the things that we might do even before we call our doctor. And Google, of course, has a database of all the searches that have been carried out on its search engine. And based on that idea that if a lot of people are sick, a lot of people will be searching for these keywords, it created a basket and tracked the basket over 5 years, and then it matched it against the CDC data on actual flu incidents, and it found the correlation to be very, very strong.
And that's
now, it
is retrospective. Have they used it prospectively to say, look out, New Mexico?
Well, yeah, that's exactly the idea. Not only found out that it correlates with the CDC data, but because the Google data is in real time, you know, they have this data. As soon as you type something in, they know that you did so. It was able to predict the spread of the flu about 2 weeks before the CDC reports it. And so yesterday they unveiled this tool that's available on the web, and you can go look at it and see if flu is spiking or not in your state or your region of the country.
Well, right now, we just looked at it earlier today. It's low in most of the country, moderate in Maine, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kentucky, and Hawaii. So what is the benefit if you know 10 days or 2 weeks in advance that there might be a flu outbreak in your area?
Well, the public health officials I talked to said, you know, the sooner we know about that the flu is spreading, the sooner they could take measures, perhaps inform the public through the media to take precautions or to make sure they get vaccinated, inform doctors and hospitals so that they know when patients come in that, you know, they might have the flu. And so early detection is always good for prevention and measures by public health officials.
We're going to bring a doctor into the conversation in just a moment, but we also want to hear from you. Do you think Google's tracking system would inspire you to protect yourself if you saw there was going to be an outbreak in your area? Wash your hands more, get stocks of Tamiflu, whatever. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org, and you can leave a comment on our website, too. Just head over to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. And now Dr. Farzad Mostashari, who joins us. He's the Assistant Commissioner of the New York City Health Department, and he joins us by phone from his office in New York. Pleasure to have you on the program today.
Hi, Neil. Thank you very much for having me.
And is this information that Google Flu develops, is it of interest to you?
Well, it's very interesting in terms of kind of a new way both of monitoring information, also the visualization tools. And frankly, maybe the most interesting part of this is for the first time it helps us get information from and hopefully give information directly to the public.
How would you give information directly to the public as a result of this tool?
Well, you know, one thing that might be interesting would be, and we haven't done this yet, but now we're all kind of thinking about possibilities like this, is if someone types in a search term for something that might connote an illness, we might have a public health ad up on the top right corner, an AdSense that says, you know, this is what you should do, or, you know, maybe you should go to a doctor if you have these symptoms, or we're concerned about this these symptoms occurring together. If you can imagine several years ago, were to have typed in Vioxx and chest pain, it would have been useful to have been able to get direct input from the patients about, you know, maybe this is something that should be reported to the FDA.
And Miguel Helft, those pop-up ads, both Google, Yahoo, those search engines are smart enough, I assume others are too, that if you do type those, they have those ability to specify ads that would pop up inform you maybe that there's a flu outbreak in your area.
Yeah, the search engines already do that very well. I mean, they correlate the ads that they show you with the terms that you type into the search engine. So that's definitely a possibility.
And as you look at this tool for Popper, as I understand it, Dr. Motashari, the CDC already gets a lot of this information in about the same time that Google does. They just report it a little bit later.
You know, there's traditional flu surveillance, which relies on manual reporting. Over the past 7 or 8 years, there are literally hundreds of state and local, as well as a federal program, to get at electronic information for real-time disease surveillance, tapping into things like pharmaceutical sales, emergency room visits, and so forth. So these are not, in terms of this specific application, it's not the first time where public health officials have had access to, you know, quicker information than traditional surveillance using existing electrons out there. But I think what is new about this particular application is that it gives a consistent national view to CDC or to the public.
And we'd like to get the public involved in this conversation. If you have questions about this Google flu tracker, if you think you might use it, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And Miguel Helft, these kinds of search engine, I guess it's data mining in a way, they're often used by, well, people who are interested in marketing much more than public health.
Yeah, absolutely. Google already has, Google and Yahoo and all these companies have this data that all sorts of data they collect as we make our way through the web. Some of the most powerful data is the data in the search engines themselves, because that is when we do a search, we're often telling the computer some of our most personal things. You know, we search for baby names because we're about to have a baby, or we search for a symptom because we suspect we have a disease. And the companies have been using this data internally for marketing purposes. Yahoo is using it, for instance, to find out what people are interested in at a certain time and then program its website accordingly. And the question is, what will happen if more of this data gets released to the public?
Let's get a caller on the line. This is Stephen, and Stephen's with us from Goldsboro in North Carolina.
Hi. Yes, I had a question for the gentleman representing Google.
There's nobody representing Google. Miguel Helft works for the New York Times, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway. Regardless, my question is, if this information, will it not encourage people to go online and look for terms regarding the flu and stuff, and how that's going to affect the statistics that Google is going to take? I mean, will it show false outbreaks because people are looking for the application rather than actual flu symptoms?
It's an interesting question, Miguel Helft, because this is something that it works sort of inadvertently. People do this on their own. It's this idea called collective intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Google people, as well as the CDC, which helped put this tool together, where you know, they cautioned us that you know, past success is not a predictor of future success, and they're going to be monitoring this tool over time. The example that the caller makes is, you know, there could be, for instance, a newspaper article saying that there's very little flu, and that sends people to the web to search for flu, and perhaps it would skew the data. So I think they're going to be monitoring this and making sure that it still correlates going forward.
Hmm. This is Farzad. I do want to support the caller's question. We have seen when we monitor, for example, over-the-counter medication sales, that there is, or absenteeism, you know, things like the day before the big baseball game, or when something goes on sale. There are many ways in which this non-specific information can create false positives. And I think it raises the really important question of that we need to think about is, how would we respond when we see an unusual trend? And I think that question, we should think about it both in terms of the public as well as for public health.
That's interesting. You monitor, for example, if there's a spike in DayQuil sales, you worry about an outbreak of a lot of colds or flu?
That's right. That's part of these non-traditional surveillance systems that I mentioned that also provide an early warning 1 to 2 weeks before the traditional flu data.
So this might buttress other sources of information. You're not going to stop gathering that other data.
That's right.
That's interesting. As you look at this, Miguel Helft, it does have applications, well, not only for marketing and other things, but for other public health applications, too.
Yeah, the hope of Google and some of the other public health people I talked to is that this might be useful to track other diseases. And Google already makes for about 2 years, it's had a product called Google Trends, where anybody can go to the website and type in any keyword they want and see the relative popularity of those terms, how they ebb and flow. And a lot of people are already using that to make predictions, to, you know, if you see a lot of queries going up for HD TVs, you would suspect that people are shopping for those things. If you saw a lot of people searching for HD TV discount, you'd suspect people are looking for bargains. And so I think this data is, you know, quite valuable and is being used more and more.
Stephen, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
We're talking with Miguel Helft of the New York Times about the Google Flu Tracker. Also with us is Dr. Farzad Mostashari, who is the Assistant Commissioner of New York City Health Department. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Dr. Mostashari, let me ask you also, don't you have to be wary, as a lot of us will use the web to search for flu symptoms, but a whole lot of communities have much less access to the web than others do?
I think that's certainly true, although I think the algorithms that Google is using adjust for the overall volume of searches. We actually haven't been able to get kind of under the hood, as it were, of exactly how the algorithms and statistical methodology works, but it at least in terms of what we've been able to see, it looks like they've done a nice job of adjusting for those kinds of things.
And adjusting for places where, there's not an awful lot of people who live there.
Yeah, I mean, if it's anything like Google Trends, there's going to be a limit to how small an area you can look at in terms of the minimum number of volume of searches.
So it could be by state or by county or by large metropolis?
That's right. Currently it's at the state level, I believe, but we, at least in New York City, there's probably going to be enough queries to theoretically be able to give us...
probably get down to zip codes, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, let's get Nancy on the line. Nancy was with us from Minneapolis.
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to the Talk of the Nation every day.
Well, thank you very much for that. But it sounds like you've got a problem.
Well, I've got what I believe is the influenza, and my husband came down with it a week ago prior to myself. We had missed our shot clinic on October 25th, and by the next week we were both ill. And I'm telling people, get the shot, because this is the worst I've felt since I was a kid.
It's interesting. We got an email from Andrea in Salt Lake City, Utah. How funny it is to hear your topic today. This morning I thought I might have the flu. I disinfected my whole office workspace and my neighbors before they arrived to work. I just look at Google's flu tracker and will continue to look at it through the season. I hate being sick. Nancy, I think you might want to say amen to that.
I would say amen, and I wish I'd known about it, because we would have rescheduled our flu shots immediately if I'd known this was going to be what it was like.
Well, Nancy, we hope you feel better.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call, and everyone get a shot.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Nancy, yes.
Let's see if we can get John on the line, and John's calling us from Cleveland in Ohio.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
My question is, as an epidemiologist and emergency physician, we're often on the front lines of the people seeking refuge from the flu, which we have really a limited arsenal. If they're coming in within a day or two, you can prescribe them Tamiflu or one of the other antivirals, which really is more akin to a marketing success than what I've seen as that translates into a clinical success. But this is all data, 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 and I think as most epidemiologists, people at the CDC, anyone, that data is something, but information is really what data needs to be. And if it's not really translatable information, what's the point or the purpose?
Dr. Mostashari, what do you think?
I completely agree. We do have to, when we say, you know, we have to think about how the public can respond to these increases, we should all recognize, despite some of the news releases about the press coverage of this, people should get their flu shot well before flu is epidemic in their communities. So,
nevertheless, some people will always be laggards in this regard. And maybe one of these announcements might get them to take their flu shot. But also, I'm told that one of the best defenses is simply to wash your hands frequently during the day so you don't necessarily pass it to yourself.
Clearly, prevention in most diseases is worth the pound of cure. But again, what it translates to the patient frequently is they feel so bad, they come in. For an average, for instance, an average emergency department bill for just the nursing care, and say you get two medicines, say you get a medicine for nausea and maybe Toradol or something for the aches and pains from which you're suffering and a bag of IV fluids, the average charge for that's $954, notwithstanding if you have respiratory symptoms or older, a chest x-ray, which is about $195, as well as then the physician charge. If it's a level 2 or 3, you're looking at least $180. So it really translates into, again, the information. How does that translate into saving health care, the patient, those with or without insurance, you know, upwards of $1,500?
John, all good.
Again, I need to look more into the site, but it seems like a great idea. It's just maybe it's a tool that we need to find the right bolt to help it screw down some things.
Well, interesting. Thank you very much for the input, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There's another example of, I guess, collective intelligence. Miguel Helft, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Miguel Helft covers Internet companies, including Google and Yahoo, for the business desk of the New York Times. His story on Google flu is on the front page of today's editions of the newspaper. And our thanks, too, to Dr. Farzad Mostashari, the Assistant Commissioner of the New York City Health Department, with us from his office in New York City. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, and thanks to your callers.
And let's see, it's Talk of the Nation. Get your flu shot. That is good advice. Get your flu shot. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.